levantaré mi bandera, alzando mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, oh.
Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. No, no, Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento. Lo digo desde la Suiza, centroamericana, rebota en Colombia y en Dominicana.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a very special edition of the Latin Babbler Show. We are here with a very special guest. He's a writer, producer, director. You have probably closed your eyes in suspense during a lot of his movies. Evil Dead, Don't Breathe, Don't Breathe 2, and now coming to Netflix on February 18th, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Welcome to the show, Fede Alvarez.
Hey, guys.
First, I want to give a shout out to Uruguay. They don't get a lot of press, but we want to give a huge shout out. We're all about representation here. And so thank you to that beautiful country. Fede, your path to Hollywood has been pretty amazing. You've made a YouTube channel that's called Ataque de Pánico. And that YouTube channel or that YouTube video caught the attention of Hollywood. And then you got a call from Warner Brothers. What was your reaction to that call?
I thought it was a friend of mine joking. That's what I thought. It's a true story. I mean, I was, because I upload the short the night before, I had not checked my emails, and I pick up the phone, and this guy started talking to me saying he's from Warner Brothers, and he had a little bit of an accent because he's, you know, he's a good friend of mine now. He's called Javier Alvarado, he's a producer, but he, you know, he had Latin parents, so he was trying to work his Spanish that wasn't that great, and so he was speaking Spanish with a, you know, like a sloppy Spanish with a lot of American accents. So I thought it was one of my friends. Because they all, you know, I don't think they thought, you know, Fede uploaded the video last night. He's probably waiting for the call from Hollywood. Let's just. And they called me, and he was saying, yeah, I'm from Warner Brothers, you know, you're with the studio. We made X amount of movies a year. And I was like in the bathroom, peeing on the phone like this. Like, sure. Yeah. Wow, impressive. Amazing. Wow. Warners, huh?
Just not buying it.
I was like, oh shit, I'm not getting through this guy.
That's hilarious.
And I was like, yeah, I don't know if I want to. Yeah, I don't know. And while I was joking, it just like, because I was sure, 100% sure it was one of my friends, because it never happened in the history of the country that someone from Hollywood calls you. So
yeah,
expecting that to happen. It was definitely a joke. There was no chance that it was real. And this is like, YouTube was 5 years old at that point. So imagine how, you know, it was quite new, that whole thing. And while I was talking with him, I opened my emails and I had 120 emails from Hollywood, from every studio.
Wow.
Every agent. Wow. Everybody was crazy. And in the middle of it, I have to pivot and go like, whoa, sorry. You say Warner Brothers, you said? I lied.
Exciting.
Something else. But yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. The good thing was that we got to actually, you know, make movies, which, because I think there's been a lot of stories and I've seen a lot of filmmakers that sometimes they have that moment because of something and then blows up one day and then 2 weeks later it just goes down, turns into nothing. It's just so hard to get that moment again. So
for real, yeah,
happy that I was able to seize it at the time. Me and Rodo, my friend, you know, we came here and we managed to get the chance to, you know, to write and direct a movie, which ended up being Evil Dead, right? Our first film.
Very cool.
And you've, you know, you've directed so many projects at this point, you know, like you said, The Evil Dead, Don't Breathe 1 and 2. And now you're, you know, tackling this iconic horror franchise and IP, the Texas Chainsaw. So what drew you to produce this project?
It was a chance. The original filmmaker, you know, Kim Henkel, who wrote the original film, Toby Hooper, he and the studio and Legendary, you know, approached us and asked us if we were interested in helping them to bring a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre to the screen. And we said yes right away because, I, you know, I love the original film and we love, you know, just the franchise. There's so much madness in it. And for us, it's something that we love to bring to our horror movies, just a sense of chaos and madness that it's hard to know what's up and what's down. And then also we thought that some of the last movies have not been given enough love by the filmmakers, I felt, you know, at least in the audience was kind of a bit lost of what those were about. So we thought, okay, we need to, you know, bring the fans like a real good one. And that's what we're trying. So that's how it happened. And we just started thinking about what a movie could be. And that felt faithful to the spirit and the simplicity of the original, that rawness that original has. But at the same time, we knew it needed to be a movie on its own that just stands on its own feet, that it just doesn't depend. There's no required watching of the originals. Like, you can watch it on its own and you're not going to miss a bit. And that's what we thought is important as well, because part of the reasons why we make them is to keep them alive. You know, we really, if you stop making them, if you stop bringing new entries into a franchise, the franchise dies and a new generation never hears of it. And then by the next one, it's gone. So I think that's what we did with Evil Dead. We brought it to a new generation back then, and that sparked a TV show and just kept it alive, right? And now it's a new movie coming out. So that's the goal with the things, you know, to really make sure this legendary characters, this masterpiece, they never die, right? Character does. He never does, right? It's almost immortal at this point.
Feel any pressure about banking the movie because of the nostalgia that surrounds it?
I think even the fact that the last one were not that great, you know, the pressure was different. But at least for me, isn't it? And I mean, no disrespect for the filmmakers. I think a lot of times it's just hard to get away with the movie you want to make, and they go different ways. I think Leatherface had a lot of good intentions. I think it was harder for them, for that story to connect with an audience. But I think the pressure is always there, man. Pressure is on every time. If there's no pressure, it's just like, you're not really daring or really going for something dangerous, but it's a sort of fun way to make them. I think again, it's like pressure pushes you to work even harder. So you really, really you want to make sure that it's great. Yeah. Because I think you have to honor always. Yeah. It's not all the movies in the middle. I think you really have to honor that first movie and make sure.
Legacy. Yeah. That first one.
Yeah.
Movie. Mm-hmm. You have to be respectful of that and really, particularly for me, never making it feel or never making it in a way that it feels like it's Hollywood just trying to, you know, cash in the title and try to, oh, let's do this thing. Let's just see. And this must be worth something. Let's put a bunch of, you know, pay a lot of people and try to make something. So we get some, we hate that. I mean, like Rhoda and I, our thing all the time, and everybody that works with us knows that, like, we're always trying to pretend it's not a business, you know? And everybody goes, it's show business. We're saying, no, it's not. You know, these things are real, and there's an audience out there that fucking love them and really
for real.
Absolutely.
Joking around with it. It's just not, it doesn't matter. It's in a movie. It's just another. We're not like that. We're really that serious when it comes to really trying to deliver the best we can to the audience and make them happy, because that's the place where we've been happy, you know, in the theater watching something we love. So we're really trying to honor that experience, right?
Yeah. Awesome. Fede, have you thought about directing any other types of movies other than horror?
Yeah. Sometimes, I mean, my sensitivity tends to gravitate there. Even when I take something that is not horror, it ends up being scary somehow. It's just it's the kind of tension that I enjoy in the theaters. You know, like, and it's not that I'm a big horror fan. It's like I watch horror movies all day. Not at all. But it's something about the kind of stories that I want to tell that tends to take me there, you know, because I think Don't Breathe particularly also wasn't, you know, end up being scary. I wasn't trying to make a horror movie, but end up being like, well, it's a horror movie. You know, it's just terrifying when it gets really fucked up. So,
but, great movies.
And I'm from Uruguay. Like, I've seen things and then put them in the movies.
I just had a follow up for that. So is there any other horror IP that you're interested in tackling? Is there like maybe a classic horror movie that you think, or maybe not even a classic, but like a cult favorite or something that hasn't gotten enough love that you want to try and tackle?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I think it's one and one. I felt like for me, as a director particularly, you kind of want to mix it up a little bit. I mean, you're always trying to, you know, we Don't Breathe, we create something original and new from scratch. Then we have fun playing on the sandbox of the Millennium books with Gurney Spiderweb. Then we went back to our world with Don't Breathe 2, and now we're playing here. I think you try and mix it up a little bit. It's always, as a fan, as a movie fan, I just cannot help it. You know, when they invite you to take place in this world that you know, that you've seen in movies, and then suddenly you have a chance to say something, it's magical. It's as close as to be in the theater watching the movie and then telling people on the screen, okay, wait, stop, and having the characters turn to you. You know, like, fuck, and suddenly you have control over that magical world that you love so much. So it's something impossible and unresistible sometimes. But then it's also good to once in a while go back and just, you know, create original stories from scratch. But if there's one in particular, I'm sure there's many, and I'm sure this is not the last one that I will work on and that I love. It's just as a film lover. It's just, I love so many of these movies that as the opportunity comes, if it's in the right setting where we can be original and creative with it, that it doesn't really, that it's not stiff, that it has to abide by this rules of this, it has to be this. This is the beauty of this kind of franchise, like this one. You could really do whatever we wanted. It was not, okay, you got to be this, but this, all these rules about Texas Chainsaw, it's not. As long as it was it was Texas and it was a chainsaw, you know, it was a go. So that's what we like about it, that we can really, you know, be creative in the confines of a franchise, right?
My biggest scene when you look at the trailer is the cell phone scene on the bus. Because that is so 2022.
Yeah.
Just to see people go in there and they're like, if you do anything, we'll cancel you. And just the chaos, because you know, you mentioned chaos. It has a ton of chaos. And I can't wait for this to be released. Mm-hmm. So really excited about that. For that, thank you so much for joining us today on the Latin Babblers Show. Where can folks reach out to you or follow you on Instagram?
I mean, Jules, I'm Twitter and Instagram. Like, I'm on Twitter, I'm Fede Alvar on Twitter, and I am Fede Alvarez on Instagram. Yeah.
All right, guys, that is our show. Don't forget to watch Texas Chainsaw Massacre, streaming on Netflix February 18th. Listen to us on all of your favorite platforms. Follow us everywhere at Latin Babbler Show, www.latinbabblershow.com. I'm the Latin Babbler, along with Fede Alvarez. Thank you, man, for being with us. It's amazing to have you on the show. And
thank you so much.
That is it. We're out. Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera.